Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. Here it is once again, Wednesday night Bible study. As always, I'm just elated and glad to be with you again on tonight to visit the Word of God, to explore the Word of God. As always, I like to let you know that this is not my Bible study, but it is all of our Bible study, and all of us can participate. As always, I like to give God all the honor, the glory, and praise for what he's going to do on tonight, for allowing us to meet together again, for us to be in the land of the living one more week. I pray that everybody had a wonderful God-filled week, full of blessings, new mercies, full of joy. I also would like to tell you guys that I am so grateful and honored that you call in, and those who listen on the internet week after week. I would like to thank God, because we always have to give him his glory and thanks and praise. And to the Son, our Savior, our Lord, and our Master, and the sweet, sweet Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Guide. And special thanks to all of you guys for calling in. What we're going to do at this time is we're going to go ahead and open up with prayer. And if someone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and a caller come into the studio, and I'll be able to open the mic so you could go across the airwaves and everyone can hear. And if no one want to pray, I'll go ahead on and pray. Before I do that, I want to let you know the title of the lesson tonight is We Must Learn How to Cooperate with the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to use three scriptures. The first one is going to be John, the 14th chapter, the 16th verse. And we're going to stay in John and go to the 16th chapter. And we're going to look at verses 7 and verse 13. Again, John, 14th chapter, 16th verse. And John, 16th chapter, the 7th and the 13th verse. So at this time, we're going to pray. And then after that, I'll put a song on. And then we'll come back and get into the lesson. For those of you who may be calling for the first time, at the end of the broadcast is an opportunity for everyone to make comments, concerns, to interject maybe some more insight into the lesson, give words of encouragement. You might even have a testimony. You know, I'm not asking you to call in and tell, you know, to say, you know, something good about me, but you could talk about the goodness of Jesus. And maybe you could speak about all that he's done for you. And that can be encouragement to someone else, to another member of the body of Christ. So at the end of the broadcast, if you would like to make a comment, and not necessarily on me, you could comment on a lesson. You could comment on God. So right now, I'm going to go ahead and open up with prayer. And after the prayer, I'll play a song and we'll get into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, dear God, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and into your gates with praise. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for allowing us to be together one more time. Heavenly Father, I thank you because the studio lights is lighting up and the people are calling in, dear God. I pray that you don't let your word return void and that they can hear something that they could use, that they could meditate on, that they could understand and help them to make decisions in a Christian walk. Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you. I'm only a vessel, your servant. I pray that you get the glory, the praise, and the honor for what's going to happen in this hour. Lord, I enter and begin this program with a spirit of expectancy, because you said in your word, if we gather together, you would be in our midst. And Lord, you say you couldn't be in the midst, and when we gather together, we must agree. So Lord, I pray that everyone is being prayerful about Wednesday night Bible study. And even though they don't know the other people on the line, that we begin to pray for one another. Heavenly Father, and I know you will get the glory. Lord, this is my prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. So right now, I'm going to go ahead and play a record. The name of the record is Encourage Yourself. You know, sometimes the way life is, you know, you look for encouragement from people sometimes. But sometimes you really just have to encourage yourself and keep it moving. And that's the record that's going to come on right now, and it's Donald Lawrence. And the record is Encourage Yourself. It's from his album. It's one of his singers. Be blessed.
Sometimes you
And that was encourage yourself. We have to learn how to do that in our lives. Because, you know, no matter how good you are or you think you are or how much you may be doing, and sometimes we feel that, you know, we need praise. Some people think praise. But the things that we do is not about us. It's all about God. You know, there's a scripture say, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. So, you know, whenever you feel you need to be encouraged and you may not be receiving what you think you should from others, you know, like this record said, encourage yourself and go on in Jesus' name. Tonight's lesson that I said, and I see a lot of more callers have come in, the title of the lesson is We Must Learn How to Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures I said earlier is coming from John. The first one is from John, the 14th chapter and the 16th verse. And the next two is going to be in the same book, John, the 16th chapter, the 7th and the 13th verse. And every time we get into a lesson, I always like to do a background about something. So since I was talking about the Holy Ghost tonight, I thought it was an appropriate time to touch lightly on the Trinity. You know, the Trinity is what the Christian believers and the faith believe in. You know, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. You know, the word Trinity means three are one, not separate. Three are one. Well, separate, but one. All three are one. You see, the most difficult thing about the Christian concept of the Trinity is that there is no way to perfectly and completely understand it. The Trinity is a concept that is impossible for our human being mind to fully understand, let alone try to explain it. You see, God is infinitely greater than we are. Therefore, we should not expect to be able to fully understand him. You know, God has allowed us to know something about him and to try to know who he is. But we will never know the mind of God, because he said that his thoughts is as high as the sky is from the dew on the ground. And his mind and his will is so powerful and all-knowing that we can't comprehend everything about him. But, excuse me, but he has allowed us through the word of God to see his attributes, to know his will and his way, and we trust him. And we wait on him for everything else as he revealed it. You see, the Bible teaches that the Father is God, that Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. The Bible also teaches us that there is only one God. So I'm not saying there's three gods. There's only one Almighty God. Though we can understand some facts about the relationship of the different persons of the Trinity to one another, ultimately, it is incomprehensible for the human mind. However, this does not mean that the Trinity is not true or that it is not based on the teachings of the Bible. You see, the Trinity is one God, existing in three persons. You must understand that this is not in any way suggesting that there are three gods, and I'm not saying that. But you have to keep in mind when studying this subject that the word Trinity, the word Trinity is not found in the scriptures. This is a term that is used to attempt to describe the triune God. three coexistence, three eternal persons who make up God. Each member of the Trinity is God. You see, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you see, I could give you some scriptures when you could kind of see that, and I wanted to go way back so you could see that, you know, we know of Jesus with the gospel in the New Testament, and we know of the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost. But see, they were already working together. Because I took a scripture from Genesis and the first chapter in the 26th verse. You see, in that scripture, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. At that time, he was talking about the Son and the Holy Spirit. There is subordination within the Trinity. You say, you're saying there's one God, and then there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Is there one over the other one and one more superior than the other? Something like that. So I want you to know there is subordination within the Trinity. Scripture shows that the Holy Ghost is subordinate to the Father and to the Son. And the Son is subordinate to the Father. You see, this is an eternal relationship that does not deny the dignity of any persons of the Trinity. By being a subordinate, don't make them any less important and no less necessary and no less of the grand scheme of God's master plan. This is simply an area which our limited minds cannot understand concerning the infinite God. The individual members of the Trinities, you see, each of them have a different task. You see, the Father is the ultimate source or cause of the universe. He's the creator. He's the source. He gives divine revelation. His plan had salvation, and he allowed Jesus to have human works. You see, the Father initiated all of these things. But you see, the Son is the agent through whom the Father does allows the work. God, we talked about what God did, and that, you see, but the Father initiated all the things, but the Son is the agent through whom the Father does the following work. Keep with me. The Son is the agent whom the Father does the following work. What work? The creation, the maintaining of the universe. The Son has divine revelation. The Son has, you know, from what he did, he has guaranteed us salvation if we accept him. You see, the Father does all these things through the Son, who functions as an agent. And now we get to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the means by whom the Father does the following work. With creation, the Holy Ghost was there. They said the Spirit hovered upon the waters. And maintaining of the universe, he was right there and still there doing and living in us. Divine revelation, you see, once you get something, the Holy Ghost is what gives you revelation. Salvation, he's the one that tried to get you in and teach you how to stay in. And you see, he was there in Jesus' work. He helped Jesus in his work. You see, and the God does all these things by the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, God, see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are not parts of one God. Each of them is God. The doctrine of the Trinity has been an issue throughout the history of the Christian church. Sometimes we have to just believe rather than attempting to fully define the Trinity with our limited human minds. You know, we would be better served by focusing on the fact of God's greatness and his unlimited high nature. I found a scripture that can say that better than me. And a scripture with Romans 11 and 34 says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? You know, God don't have to go into counseling to do anything for anybody. You know, God is God all by himself. So you could depend and rely on God, because if he's going to do it, his will going to be done. He don't have to go around and search for someone to decide if he want to do his will. His will be done. So after thinking about all of this that I just read you and studying and putting it down, I finally came up with this saying that I love to use, and I'm going to just use it. And I say, God the Father is a lover of our soul. God the Son died for our souls. And God the Holy Spirit is trying to get the unsaved to save their souls. And once they are saved, the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit, continue the process of leading us to truth. I hope that statement may help you, and you can see the aspect. It's all about God's plan and creation, and he used the Holy Ghost and the Son to accomplish it. We might can't understand it all, but we know that that's a part of God's great master plan, and that it is, that all of that is a part of his will. And we just have to believe it. You see, so that's a little background on the Trinity, and I used the Trinity for the background because tonight we're going to focus on the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. So if we go to the first scripture, which was John 14 and 6, it says, I will pray, and this is Jesus talking, I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you. This is important what I'm fixing to say when you're looking at the scripture. I'm going to start it over, and this is Jesus talking. I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that will abide with you forever. You see, here we see that the Holy Ghost is a gift to us from God. How we cooperate with the Holy Spirit is a gift to God. The scriptures say that he will give you another comforter. Because Jesus also have the title of a comforter. If you go to 1 John 2 and 1. And you know, God also had the title of a comfort. If you go to 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. You know, the word another stresses that the Holy Ghost would be another to us like Jesus. I'm going to say that again. The word another in this scripture stresses that the Holy Ghost would be another one to us like Jesus. He is called our comforter, can be translated as advocate, which means one called alongside to help in time of trouble. And this comforter will abide in us forever. Which one? The Holy Ghost, that Jesus prayed to the Father to give us because he was going back to be with the Father, and he didn't want to leave us comfortless. So this is Jesus saying he will pray to the Father that he give us another one, because I am a comforter, Jesus is saying, but I have to go and return and be with my Father. You see, when Jesus walked the earth, he knew that his time on earth was coming to an end. And when he gave this scripture, he was teaching his disciples about things to come. He was letting them know that he was going to leave them, but he would not leave them comfortless. And God would give them another comforter. And that's all concerning the Holy Spirit. And then if we go to the next verse, which is John 16, chapter 16, I'm going to read 7 in 7 verse in 13. Now watch this. 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I not go away, the comforter will not come. You see, in a part of God's plan, when he orchestrated all this, it was going to be the time for Jesus. And when Jesus go, the Holy Ghost was come. He was trying to tell them, I got to leave you. And, you know, they were upset because they, first of all, they didn't understand why he had to leave. And second of all, they say, if you leave, where you going? And where you going, can we come? Because they was thinking with their limited minds. But Jesus said, for if I not go away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. And on 13, it say, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truths, for he shall not speak of himself, but for whatever, but whatsoever he hear, that shall he speak. In other words, he's not going to make up things as he go. Whatever the Father administered to him, that's what he's going to administer to you. He's not going to speak of himself, but he's going to tell you what God is doing in his master plan that God wants delivered to you is going to come to you through the Holy Spirit. They say, and the rest of the scriptures say it, and he will show you things to come. Now, after reading those two scriptures and understanding through the Trinity that the Holy Ghost is a part, the third person of the Trinity, I would have to ask you the question right now. Have you ever prayed or meditated or had conversation with the Holy Spirit for your life? Do you realize how important the Holy Spirit is in your life? You would have to answer that yourself. You see, Jesus is letting us know that God has a master plan for all things to work together for our good. And he designed all things for his glory. Everything that God created, everything that he does is a part of his master plan, his will, and for his glory. You see, God designed everything, and it's to point back to him and give him glory. You see, Jesus would have to go. Come on now. You know, the disciples didn't understand it, and they start questioning why you got to go. But in God's master plan, I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus had to go so that we may live. Come on now. He had to die for us to live. You see, by him dying and leaving, he removed our debt penalty by dying on the cross. He took everything upon himself that we deserved. And once it was done and he ascended back to the Father, because that was the master plan, he left the Holy Ghost. He would then return to the Father and sit on the right hand and become an intercessor for us. You see, God knew we would need someone to take Jesus' place on earth. Come on now, keep up with me. You know, we all think about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ left and he stayed on earth, and he revealed himself after he died for so many days, and then he returned to the Father. What do you think happened after that? Who do you think is with us and, you know, and being with us and guiding us and leading us and helping us? God knew when Jesus would go back to be with him that we would need someone. And that's the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit convinces us of Christ's power, about Christ's incarnation, about Christ being the Messiah, about his suffering and his death. See, the Holy Ghost is the one that convinces us. You know, and if you're a Christian, you're convinced. And if you've been convinced of that, you have to know that's through the power of the Holy Ghost. There are so many people who are not convinced. But if you convince and you accepted Christ, that was the work of the Holy Ghost. So give the Holy Ghost his props. Give him his just due. Because he do have feelings. And you can grieve him. So the Holy Ghost convinces us of Christ's power, his incarnation, God turning into flesh and walking on the earth. It convinces us of Jesus being a Messiah, his suffering and his death, his resurrection and his ascension back into heaven. You know, the Holy Ghost help us with his exaltation as he sat on the right hand of the Father. And that his role, I'm talking about Jesus, is to judge us all. That's some of the work of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost give glory to Christ in all things. You know, in this scripture that we read up, they said that he is called the Spirit of Truth. You see, this revealed to our mind the whole counsel of God, the Spirit of Truth. You see, the Spirit presence within us enable us to understand and interpret the Word of God. You cannot understand the Word of God. You cannot interpret the Word of God without the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus told his disciples that when the Spirit of Truth comes, come on now, Jesus was teaching them of things to come. And he taught them about the Holy Ghost. No, maybe they couldn't understand it and comprehend it, but how blessed are we where we got the Word of God, 66 books, to put it together and connect some of the dots that they couldn't even comprehend. And it's still so much mystery that haven't been told. But the Holy Ghost is the one that allows us to understand it and accept it as truth. You see, the Holy Ghost is the one that will guide us into all truth. He reveals to our mind the whole counsel of God as it relates to worship, doctrine, and Christian living. He is the ultimate guide. You know, the Holy Ghost is going before you. The Holy Ghost is leading the way for you. The Holy Ghost is the one that removes all obstacles out of your way. The Holy Ghost is the one that's opening your understanding and making things plain and clear. Hallelujah. He leads in the way that we should go in all spiritual things. Without such a guide, let's look at this now. Without such a guide, we would be apt to fall in errors. You see, a crucial part of the truth he reveals is that Jesus is who he said he is. The Spirit convinces us about the things of God. That God have a master plan, that God did wanted us to be saved and sent his son. The Holy Ghost is the one that's revealing that and working on us to understand that. You see, whenever we study the Word of God or hear the Word of God, which is information, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us illumination and revelation. Many times in my teaching, I always say, I can give you information, but it's the Holy Ghost who will give you revelation by revealing the truth. The Holy Ghost is living inside of you, bringing things to your memory that you heard or learned about Christ. And when you arrive, when trouble arrives, I said when trouble arise, not if trouble arise, the Holy Ghost is the one that will guide you. The Holy Ghost is the one that will comfort you. The Holy Ghost is the one that's going to help you to trust God. And the Holy Ghost is going to be the one to bring your faith into memory, and you could hold on to your faith in a situation, adversities, or the situation that's going on. You know, late in the midnight hour when everything is shut down and you might have all kind of problems you can't understand, and you might even be questioning God, why me, why this, why this had to happen to me. But you see, if you tune into the Holy Ghost, you just tune into him, call on him. It's all right to call his name. You're not taking nothing away from the Father or the Son. That's what the Word of God tells us. He said, I will send you another comforter when Jesus leaves, and that comforter is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is taking over where Jesus left off on earth. And the Holy Ghost is here, and look, he's living inside of us. In the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. Now, after the Old Testament and the New Testament, God is dwelling inside of his people. And the God inside of us is the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Ghost can only call attention to the things that you have put inside of yourself. Have you studied lately? Have you studied to show yourself approved? Have you looked up something? Have you meditated on God? Because you see, the more you put in, the more the Holy Ghost could bring out. And that's his job, and he does it well. He don't have nothing else to do but aid God and help you. Lean on him. Rely on him. And as I said, he can only call attention to the things that you have put inside of you. If there's a little word inside of you, the Holy Ghost can only give you a little truth. He will have just a little truth to reveal to you. You see, you got to look at it like this. The Holy Ghost is here on earth living inside of us. The Holy Ghost does the work on the heart. That's why we say we are being saved from the inside out. And the Holy Ghost is eager, willing, and very much able to help you in this world. But do you recognize him as a person and a part of the Trinity and recognize him as God? You see, when Jesus returned to be with the Father, he left his spirit, the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave the spirit. Watch this. Jesus gave us his spirit as compensation for his absence to perform the functions towards us which he would have done if he had personally remained with us. You know, the Bible say, Jesus said, when I leave, I will not leave you comforted. The Holy Ghost took off on earth. The Holy Ghost took over on earth the duties that Jesus had and Jesus would have performed if he was still been with us. That's sweet. Thank you, dear God, for your Holy Spirit. Along with the Holy Ghost came the fruit of the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is a fruit producer in our lives. You know, God say he want to see the fruit. If a tree bear no fruit, it should be cut down. You know, you say, I have faith, but let me see your works. See, the works is it would be a fruit of faith. No, faith, works can't save you. But if you save, there should be some evidence of work. Because you see, there should be always evidence. So what happened when the Holy Ghost came to live inside of you and dwell within you? He began the work of harvesting his fruit in our lives. Y'all know if you go to Galatians 5 and 22 and 23, it's going to say that the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, when you accepted Christ, the Holy Ghost take up residence inside of you. And you and he, when he came to live and dwell within you, he brought the nine fruit that I just read along with him. And you know, this word always say fruit. It never says fruits with an S. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. You say, why you keep saying fruit, and it's nine of them instead of saying nine fruits. We it is in the Bible, it's written without an S. And so that ought to tell you something. But if you know and you go back and you study the reason for that, that I say it fruit and not nine, even though there were nine, because God's intention is that we treat the nine as one. You know, a lot of people look at the list of the nine fruit of the Spirit, and they say, well, I got love, but I'm working on patience. And it's good to work on patience and keep working on it. But it's not for you to get three out of nine. It's not for you to get four out of nine. You know, your ultimate goal is to get all of them working together inside of you, because when you do, you have put yourself in position to receive from God. You have put yourself in position for God to really work it all out for you. You put yourself in position to be the head and not the tail. You put yourself in the position to receive for God to do all that he has desired for to do for you. You see, these nine virtues, the fruit, these are not works of our flesh, which is incapable of producing fruit. Y'all knew that? Your flesh cannot produce fruit. But it's, you know, when you loving, that's not through the flesh. Flesh has the it is not possible for the flesh to produce fruits. But these are produced by the Spirit, which is present in our lives. And again, I have to tell you, we must learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who is working in our lives to develop character and righteous living. You know, a lot of people go around and they don't have no character. They have a lot of personality. And I could tell you this, personality is like perfume. You put it on and you take it off. But you see, character is when you're doing the right thing when nobody's looking. You see, the Holy Ghost is developing character and righteous living. That's who work in us. Not us, but the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So don't you think it would make sense for us to learn to cooperate with him? So that we might be blameless before others and not hinder the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit allows our light to so shine before men, and they could see our good works and glorify the Father. You see, God knew, this one is good. I love this. God knew we could not be all that we could be in Christ, in and of ourselves. But by cooperating with the Holy Spirit, we could allow Christ to be all that he can be in us. The Holy Spirit gives us revelation and the truth to be able to count the cost in all of our decision making. Not some, but all. We must learn to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, because that is where our success in life can be found. Not in some areas, but in all of the issues of this life. You know, we have to live here until Jesus come back again. And God in his ultimate plan and his wisdom and his love for us was not going to put us in a situation where there was no hope, where we could not become the best we can be and deal with the issues of life. He gave us the Holy Ghost. the Holy Spirit. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Listen to his voice. Learn his voice. The Holy Spirit does the work in the heart. There are many misconceptions about the identity of the Holy Spirit. Some view the Holy Spirit as a mythical force. Of all the gifts given to mankind, watch this, there is none greater than the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. The Holy Ghost has many functions, roles, and activities. Everyone has a God conscious, whether they know it or not. You know, many times in my life I heard, and even today I always hear people say, you know, something told me not to go that way. Something told me not to do that. They heard it within their conscience. You know, they say something. You know, I want to tell you tonight, that is not a something. It's the third person of the Trinity. The Spirit of God leading and guiding you to all truth, helping you to watch the obstacles that may be in your way. You see, the Spirit applies the truth of God to the minds of men, watch this, to convince them by fair and sufficient arguments that they are sinners. That's the Holy Ghost made us first want to believe. You know, you was in church, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, we was in church a long time ago. We was little, and we was at church, and we understood when they opened the doors of the church that you have to go up, but you were scared, and you decided not to go up. And then all of a sudden, one day, you look up, and you're in front of the church giving your life to God, and you don't even remember how you got there. That was the sweet, sweet Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this. It's not something. It's the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. And he's the one that has given us fair and sufficient arguments that we are sinners. According to that conviction, that's what leads men to salvation. The truth and the conviction by the Holy Ghost. Once we are saved and belong to God, the Spirit take up residence in our heart. However, watch this. Wherever you go and whatever you do, good, bad, or ugly, you take the Holy Ghost along with you. That's enough to make us stop doing some of the things we're doing. You see, the Holy Ghost is our sealer. He's sealing us with the confirmation, certified, and assured pledge of our eternity with God. Once we accepted Christ, the Holy Ghost came to live in us, and he sealed us, that guaranteed us the hope for our salvation. You see, in that scripture at the top part, it said he will send you another company that will abide with you forever. See, Jesus had to go back again, but the Holy Ghost is in it. He said he's going to abide with you forever. The Holy Ghost really thinks, and he knows, you know, he's smart. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Ghost is the one that keep knocking on the door of our hearts to accept Christ. When we refuse his invitation, that's called blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. And that's the only sin, the only sin that cannot be forgiven. And I'm going to tell you why. You see, if you never accept him, then you don't belong to him. And he don't belong to you. So without him, there is no salvation. You say blaspheming the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost's job is to bring you to Christ. If you keep refusing him, that means you never accept Christ. If you never accept Christ, you have no salvation. Simple. And I'm going to close with this. The Holy Spirit is the one that comforts you when you are weak, guides you when you're lost, help you to cross over the bridges that's over the troubled waters. All of those troubled waters in your life, he become the bridge that take you over. Late in the midnight hour when all things is all in a disarray and something done happened and you don't know which way to go, turn to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, he going to convict you when you're wrong. And he will definitely encourage you when you're right. And that's our lesson for tonight. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. And at this, as always, at this time, you could press the one button. And I'm not looking for you to give, you know, not to me. It would be nice for someone to say something about God. We go over a powerful lesson like this, and we understand God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the master plan that God has set up for us, and that he's going to work it out for our good, and he's going to, you know, there's a scripture in Philippians 2:13 say that it is God that working in you to will and to do of his good pleasures. God is taking care of all of this all the way around. Not giving me praise, but say something about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's doing. You know, this lesson taught me that you know, we have to stop trying to be all that we can be in Christ in and of ourselves. And we have to start letting Christ be all that he can be in us. And we cannot achieve that without the Holy Spirit, without his guidance and without leading us, without him bringing the truth and giving us illumination and revelation about the Word of God. If you didn't know the Holy Ghost, if you never thought much about the Holy Ghost, if you didn't think maybe the Holy Ghost, or you didn't understand his task, his function, and his work, I can guarantee you one thing. The Holy Ghost is living inside of you. The Holy Ghost is leading and guiding you in the way that you should go. But you have to listen. We have to learn, as the title of the lesson said, we have to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And I did say we have to learn, not just you, all of us, because even the ones of us that know it, we don't cooperate as much as we could. We don't cooperate as much as we should. And as I said, the cooperation with the Holy Spirit is going to be our success in this life. The Holy Spirit is what God has given us on this side of heaven. So it seemed to me that it makes a lot of sense to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So if anybody would like to make a comment at this time, you can press the one button on your phone. If anybody need prayer requests, there's a lady on the line. I just happen to know her number. Her name is Rosemary Coleman, and she recently had knee surgery, and she's recovering and doing fine. But I'm asking, you know, each and every one of you all to pray for her, and in your prayer you could call. Her name is Rosemary Coleman, and the operation that she had was knee surgery for her to recover and be all that she could be. There's another caller on the line, Jeanette Clark. She's on the line, and she was having a little kink in her hip, and she's going to the doctor to find out what it is. But I'm asking that each and every one of you pray, you know, who report we're going to believe. We're going to believe the report of the Lord. But I'm asking that you pray for her as well. If anybody else on the line have any special prayer requests that they would like the body of Christ, us, the Wednesday Night Inspirational Bible people to pray for, if you press the one button on your phone, and we'll also include you in. I have a call, and I'm going to open a line. Caller 504-251, your mic is open.
This is Jeanette, and I'm calling to ask you to pray for our brother, Melvin Ward.
That's another name that has been added to the list for us to pray for. We got Melvin Ward, Jeanette Clark, and Rosemary Coleman. Keep them lifted up in prayer. Would you like to say anything else, Ms. Clark?
Also, Geraldine Boltner.
And Geraldine Boltner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it?
Yes.
And I'm going to close your mic. Anyone else would like to say anything at this time? Any comments? Anybody would like anything to add anything to the lesson? Anyone? So since we don't have any more callers that would like to say anything, add anything to the lesson, what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction prayer. Usually when we on the line, a lot of callers stay after the benediction prayer, and they like to hear the music. I will continue to play music. I will continue to play music once we have finished. And the prayer, I will begin to play the music, and I will let the music keep playing as long as there's callers on the line. But again, as always, I just want to say thank you to everybody for calling in. You know, we've been on the air. It's been over a year, and some of the callers that I see on the line right now, you know, there's my Aunt Audrey in Homer, she's on the line, and my sister Jeanette from Mississippi is on the line, and my spiritual mother, Joyce Brown, is on the line from La Plaza, and I got Sister Pauline. That's my sister, my big sister in Christ. She's on the line. And then I see my stepmom is on the line. You know, we got to give a shout-out for God to be with her as well. And I thank all of y'all for calling in. I also have other listeners. My niece in California is on the line, and my niece in Texas is on the line, and my good friend in Waggaman, my daughter in Christ, Rianne, is on the line, and you know, there's a lot of people listening by the internet, and then my niece. My other niece in California is on the line, and there's a number here. I don't quite know who it is, but I say thank God for you as well. And, you know, this is just a fellowship. This is, all of us is just a body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. If I didn't say your name, and because I don't know your number, if you press the one button on your phone, I'll know who you are. But, it's, you know, if you don't want to, it's okay. But I just want to say thanks to all of you. Sister Rosemary Coleman, who I asked for prayer for, is on the line tonight. Glory be to God. And right now, it's 9:29. I always try to end at 9:30. So I'm going to go in. Oh, I got a caller. Press the button. Caller 25132. You can speak at this time. Caller 25132. Can you hear me? Hello? Maybe the button was pressed by error. I saw my hairdresser, my stylist that keep me looking pretty. I saw she's was on the line. Glory be to God. You know, it's just wonderful for us to come together like this on Wednesday. And we have to use it to our advantage to get more bang for our buck, because God has set this up for us and we should use it to the fullest. But at this time, because we're getting at the 9:30 hour, I'm going to go ahead and lift us up in prayer. Call at 25132. I see your button is pressed again. Would you like to say anything before I go into prayer? Caller, your number is 504-25132. Would you like to say anything? All right. So let us go into God's throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, merciful God, I just want to thank you for tonight, dear God. I thank you for every caller that came in. Lord, I pray that your word was an encouragement to them. I hope that the Holy Ghost take what they learned and put it into action, help them to put it into action, dear God. I hope they understand the office of the Holy Ghost even more. Lord, I pray that your word won't return void, and that each one will receive what you have set out for your word to do in their hearts. Heavenly Father, right now I come to your throne of grace for healing and recovery. Lord, we have Melvin Ward's name has gone up. Lord, help him with his sickness, whatever it may be. You know, dear God, we're going to relieve the report of the Lord. We have Geraldine Bochner. Right now she's in the hospital. I'm asking everyone to pray for her. And, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in this situation. Heavenly Father, we know that Sister Rosemary came out of surgery, and she's recovering nicely, dear God. And for that, we just want to say thank you. Lord, we asking for Jeanette Clark, for them to find out the little kink in her hip and let it be nothing that can concern or hinder her from being what she needs to be for herself and for others, dear God. Lord, we thank you. And we're going to believe the report of the Lord concerning all of these issues. And God, right now we lay it on the altar and we realize that it's not our will, but it's your will. Have your way in these situations, dear God. And we're asking you with the spirit of expectancy, believing and knowing that you're able. And we're going to leave it there. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's the end of the broadcast for the night. I just want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And the Holy Ghost is right there with you. He's willing, able, eager, and ready to do all that he's assigned to do in your life. You got to trust him and learn how to cooperate with him. And that's our lesson for the night. I pray that everyone is kept safe until we meet again, that God's favor be on each and every one of your lives, and that everything worked together for your good, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to put on some music. And once the music starts, your calls are still on the board. If at any time you press the one button, I will stop the music, and you still have time to make comments. So I will do this right now, and I will still watch the board to see if anybody would like for me to open a mic to make any kind of comment that they will want to. So here we go at this time.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. You don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
Pain, the trials.
The pain, the trials God has given.
You don't know.
You don't know my story. You don't know the day he came.
I was at my lowest.
At my lowest.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
The strongholds and the walls have been
shattered. But God has been faithful.
God has been faithful.
For no more shall the shackles condemn me. You don't know my story.
You just don't know.
For if you did, you would lift up your hand. So just let me tell you.
About God, because even though I'm not perfect,
my story
and my deliverance,
and
what I want to share is my testimony.
You don't know.
Somebody needs to know my story.
It would blow your mind.
Can I get a witness?
You don't know
my story. And it's through my testimony,
through my testimony
that I overcome.
And the blood you shed, delivered
I've been delivered. I've been set free.
Yeah.
Now I have a testimony. I want you to know that life in favor. Thank you for bringing me out. You think you know, but let me tell it.
Life in favor.
God, thank you for your mercy.
Mercy.
And you love me. Life in favor.
Life in favor.
Oh, how wondrous. God is my story.
Life is favor upon me.
You wouldn't believe my real testimony. Can't imagine. Some people, they walked out on me and they gave up on me, said I wouldn't make it, but God brought me out.
All the things I've done.
If you only knew, you'd understand why I praise like this. Come on, can we take it up?
Song.
Everybody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know it's awesome, say,
awesome.
Come on and lift your voice. The whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Your voice is safe. Come on, somebody
the valley.
Lead me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God.
Somebody ought to celebrate the arms of God.
We serve an awesome God. The Son is an awesome Son. And the Holy Spirit is awesome as well. I don't know how many people are still on the line. But, you know, sometime when I wake up in the morning, I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Giving him, recognizing him for who he is. Letting him know that I know that he's there. And I do it as appreciation. Good morning. As respect and reverence. But we all growing in God's grace. And in the lesson, I talked a little about, because, you know, all that's a part of God's master plan. So I'm going to play this record right now called The Master Plan. we close for tonight, you know, that record made me think that God does has a master plan, and the things that he has for our life that he want to administrate towards us and work within us and give us, he's doing it through his Holy Spirit. So I would suggest and really plead that you learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know, some people don't know that the Holy Spirit is the one that administers and gives out gifts. And you're looking for something, and you got to call his name. Give him reverence, give him respect, give him the honor that's due him, the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. That's our program for tonight, and I pray that God be with you until we meet again. And good night.